Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
The message he put on my heart was keeping the new year new. Keeping the new year new. God wants this new year to stay new all year long. Hallelujah. Keeping the new year new. It's a new year full of new opportunities. New opportunities. It's going to be all kinds of opportunities before us in this new year. That's exciting. Amen. It's a year of new ideas. How many expect to get some new ideas about some things that you didn't think of before in the years gone past? There's some new ideas ahead of you and I. There's some new experiences in this new year. New experience, things you've never experienced before. All kinds of new experiences. I mean, there's a bunch of new adventures that lie ahead for you and I. Full of new experiences. Glory to God. Stuff I never experienced that before. New experiences in God, new experiences wherever and whatever. I mean, I don't know. It's exciting not knowing everything. I said it's exciting. A lot of folks get anxious about not knowing everything. They feel like they have to know everything to have some peace. But no, we don't have to be anxious about it. We can have peace because we know God knows. He knows everything. He knows what's up ahead. And he cares. And just like he has made each day new for us, every day is a new day. He says, this is the day the Lord has made. Every day is a day he has made. Though that a year is made up of days, and this whole new year is full of new things that God has prepared for you and I. Think about that. God has prepared an abundance of great things for you and I. There's all kinds of new accomplishments for you and I in this upcoming. What are we going to accomplish this year? What are some things that we're going to do? I'm excited about it. I don't know them all, but I know God. He's a God of accomplishments. He's a God of progress. He's a God of increase. So, man, we're going to experience all kinds of new things. We're going to do all kinds of new things. We're going to have all kinds of new things happen in our life. We're going to experience all kinds of new relationships, new revelations, all kinds of new stuff. Hallelujah. A lot of things to get excited about, a lot of things to look forward to. Look forward to in this up and coming new year. One of the things that came out on New Year's Eve, as Gene was flowing with the Holy Spirit, there were some prophecies that were given and things, but one of the things that the Spirit of God was dealing with through her was negativity. Driving out that spirit of negativity, as well as a spirit of fear. Fear and negativity. No more. We're not going to have it here. We're not going to have it. Not going to have it here in the church. We're not going to have it here in our lives. We're going to resist that. Negativity is not of God. God is not a negative God. He's not in fear, and he's not thinking, what am I going to do? I don't know how this is going to turn out. The whole world's gone crazy on me. God's not worried, and he's not negative. God is not a pessimistic God. He is an optimistic God. Right? And like the illustration that was given Thursday night, New Year's Eve, illustration that was given was, you know, the glass being half empty. Man, it's half empty. I don't have much left. I mean, it's half gone. It's half gone. Well, instead of saying it's half gone, say, praise God, it's still half full. It's still half full. Hallelujah. I still got half in the container. That's better than a lot of folks who have none. We're half full. See, there's two ways of looking at the exact same thing. How are you going to look at your life in the days ahead? How you do look at your life in the days ahead is a lot of what you're going to experience in this new year. What are you going to experience in this new year? Has a lot to do with how you're looking at it, how you go into it. how you're thinking about it, how you go through it. And God, He is positive. He is optimistic. He's excited about the things that He has prepared for us, expecting us to believe His word and rise up and walk in all that He has for us. He's a God that's all about newness. Our God is new and fresh every day, all the time. With Him, everything's new, everything's fresh. Things don't get old and stagnant with God. Everything is new. In fact, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in verse 16, he says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed." Renewed. What do you mean? Made new. Made new day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now notice that. He says, we don't lose heart. We don't get depressed. We don't quit. We don't give in. Why? Because even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man, talking about the spirit of a man, we are spirits. We live in a body. We are spirits. We are not bodies. We are not souls. We are not minds. We are spirits. And we live in a body. Now, a lot of folks are just very conscious of their bodies. And the more conscious you are of your body, of the outer part of you, the outer man, the more you're going to be focused in on what's perishing, what's diminishing, what's fading away, what's falling apart, what's perishing. Why? Because the outward is perishing. The outward is perishing. The outward is passing away. Everything in the natural is perishing and passing away. It's temporary. It doesn't last forever. So if you're focused on the outward, if you're just focused on all the natural things of life, man, you're going to be depressed. You're going to lose your heart. You're going to lose heart a lot. You're going to just want to quit and give up a lot. Why? Because you see stuff falling apart around you all the time. But that's not all that's going on in your life. Though the outward man is perishing, though the outward things of this world are passing away, there's still something else going on. The inward man is being renewed, new, made new, day by day. And the inward man is that eternal part of you. It's the most important part of you. The most important part of you is the eternal part of you, not the outward perishing part of you. And the good news is the real you is experiencing something new day by day. Day by day. Why? Because God is fresh and new day by day. God is a God of newness, and He lives inside the born-again child of God, the one that has made Jesus the Lord of their life. Is He living in you? Oh, man, then there's something new, something fresh, something exciting from God for you today. Fresh manna, fresh life. His life is fresh. Every day, all the time. The Holy Spirit is likened to new wine, not old wine. New wine. God's given us a new covenant. He's a God of living water, not old, stagnant water. He's a God of freshness, newness. Glory to God. And that's who's living in you. And the Bible says, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. If it's living, it's moving. It's moving. I mean, you go down to a river with a cup and you scoop up some water. And you know, do whatever you do with it. I'm not going to say drink it. You do something with it, and then you go and you scoop down again. And have you know, the water that you scooped in before is gone. That's already been moved out. This river is moving. The water you reached into before, that's already gone down the river. That might already be a mile away by the time you reach down there and take another scoop. You got a fresh batch of water. Why? Because it's living. It's moving. Something fresh has come in. Out with the old, in with the new. That's how life works. That's how God works. And God is in you. Out of you, freshness. Something moving. Life. Living. Living water coming up out of you. There's new experiences in there. I said there's new experiences in there. Someone goes, well, I've tasted of that. I've experienced that. I've done that. I've had that, referring to the things of God. Come on. Are you kidding me? What you had is long gone, friend. That is long gone down the river of life. There's a fresh batch. It looks the same. It might even taste the same, but it's fresh and it's new. Don't be deceived to think it's the same just because it looks the same. It's new. Hallelujah. Some say, God's got new things for me. Amen. As we get in the Word of God, I'm telling you, this Word is fresh. It's like fresh baked bread. It's new all the time. Why? Because it's full of life. It proceeds forth from God. We're not just reading a letter. We're getting in there and we're spending time with God. And it's fresh. Let it be fresh to you every day. Again, it's your attitude. How are you going into this? But I've read that before. And you know what it really says? A lot of folks haven't read it before. A lot of folks haven't even read through this one book that is the book of life, that is the answer to everything, that is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, manifestation of God in the earth, His Word. His Word, greatest manifestation of God in the earth. We can know the mind of God. We can know the wisdom of God. We can be partakers of the Spirit of God, the life of God, by spending time in this Word. I think it's time to read through the Bible this year. I think it's time to read through the Bible this year and have enough stamina to get through Leviticus. Some folks, they just get through Leviticus, and next thing you know, they're doing well, and then they come to 2 Chronicles, or 1 Chronicles. And for the first 10 chapters, it's so-and-so begot so-and-so, who 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 begot so-and-so, and he begot so-and-so, and so-and-so. And that's about it. They say, you know, I think I've had just about enough of reading through my Bible this year. But just stay with it. Stay with it. Like I told my boy the other day, I said, just read it. Put your heart into it. I said, because as you do, as you accumulate the Word of God in your heart, some of those begets will start making sense to you later on. You'll need some of those begets down the road. See, I wouldn't remember them. Oh, no, not in your own self, but by the help of the Holy Spirit. He brings all things to your remembrance. Amen. And he'll say, now, remember when you read that about so-and-so begot so-and-so? Well, here he is right here. And here is why he's such a key player in the scheme of things. You just never know. His Word is life. I said His Word is life. And it's not all begets. So endure through those things that are tough on the mind. Tough. You just stay with it and say, praise God, it's life. It's life. Sometimes I start going through it. You know, begets got so-and-so, begets so-and-so. And then I just start speaking in tongues because I can't pronounce them correctly. I look at them, I read them in my heart, but I'm in tongues. Because most time I read the Word of God out loud. I like putting it in my mouth. Amen. Or sometimes I'll go over to my phone now and I've got a Bible app on there. And when I see one of those pages coming where it's full of begets, I'll just go ahead and hit play. and I'll read along with the guy that knows how to pronounce it. I don't know how he does it. The guy's a genius. I'm saying, how's he going to pronounce this? Yeshusamaya. Begat Kesusanamei. Wow. It's amazing. It's time to say, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. I'm going to read through the Bible this year. Amen. You can spice it up too every year if you do it every year. See, then you can change the translation. You know, I read the NIV last year. Amplified this past year. See, we want to read through it, and you get other translations in there, and then they say things a little differently, and you hear things a little differently. But I'm telling you, the Word of God is fresh. It's fresh. You never exhaust God's Word. He'll keep giving you revelation from His Word. So it's time to take the Word serious and lay down that New Year's resolution and say, I'm reading through the Word of God this year. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of good read through the Bible programs and everything else out there. So, you know, some Bibles have it right in there. If you'll read this in the morning, read this at night, and just how we might want to double up, read it through in 6 months. But just do it. Be committed to it. Now, I don't just read through the Bible. You know, I study the Word of God, and I spend time in prayer and things like that. But then I'll always come back to, you know, I'll just pick up where I left off. A lot of folks say, well, what do I read? Where you left off. I'm not sure what to read. Well, just start reading where you left off. See, just pick up, just go on through the Word. But as you do, just know God's Word is fresh. It's not just some kind of old intellectual book that once you've read it, you're done with it. God will keep showing you new things that are applicable to your life now, that are applicable to your day today. And we got to watch about church participation. You know, we got to watch, you know, we don't want to just show up at church. I'm here, I came, yeah, not much different. You know, there's a lot of churches, they'll change their background a lot. There's churches, to keep exciting for people, they'll change the background a lot, change pictures and things like that, and just try to always change things up for people all the time because things get old to people. Yeah, it gets old to carnal people. But I'm not going to treat you like a bunch of carnal people. I'm going to treat you like spiritual people that don't need to be dazzled and razzled and dazzled by the things of the flesh to stimulate you. We're not looking for outward stimulation. We're looking to the Spirit. Looking to the Spirit. And if you're in the Spirit, if you're putting your heart into it, friend, you don't care about the colors. You forget about the colors really fast, man, because God's in the house. God's talking to me. He's giving me revelation. His Word is going forth. Angels are all around this place. This is awesome. Last thing you're going to think about is the picture over there. See, some of you are looking, saying, I didn't even know it was there. See? You lose sight of that stuff. We're not looking for outward stimulation to keep us excited. We're looking to the Spirit. Why? Because if we look to the Spirit, it's new. It's new and it's fresh. All church is new and fresh all the time. I've heard that message before. I've heard that scripture before. See, that's just being carnal. You're thinking because it looks the same and it sounds the same and it tastes the same that it is the same. No, friend, the old is gone. This is new. This is a new word for you. This is full of new nutrition. New nutrition, new nutrients to strengthen your spirit. Hallelujah. So don't just hang out at church. Be a participator. Get yourself involved. And you don't have to have a position to be involved. It just starts with throwing yourself into it. Throwing your heart into what God's doing here. Not just a spectator, but you're participating with your heart. Praise and worship. Praise and worship, man. The Bible says in Psalm 33, it says, praise the Lord with the harp. Verse 3, sing to Him a new song. Sing to Him a what? A new song. So our praise says, when are they going to change the song? I've heard that song so many times. We need new songs. You're carnal. You're not getting it. It's new. In the Spirit, it's new. It's fresh in the Spirit. Put your heart, pray, sing to Him a new song. That doesn't mean it's words you've never heard before in that song. Doesn't mean there's new instruments, new melodies. It could be the same old melody with the same old lyrics, but to you, it's a new song. It's a new song. It's a new day to express your new thanksgivings to God. Express your new revelation in Him. Come on, we're going to keep the new year new. How? Putting our heart into things, not focusing on what is passing away, not focusing on the outward, not focusing on the letter, not focusing on the lyrics, not focusing on the things that we're familiar with in the flesh, in the natural. That's not our focus. Our focus is what's going on in us. What's going on in our spirit? What's going on? Man, I keep going through the same old trial, same old test. Okay, but what's happening to you as you're going through it? Are you being changed and transformed through it because you're going through it in faith? Not focusing on the outward. Not focusing on the conditions, not focusing on the circumstances, not focusing on the trial and on the test. If you focus on the trial and the test, focus on the circumstances, you're going to lose heart. You're going to be discouraged. And this year will just be just like last year. Same old, same old, same old. But look what the apostle says. He says, even though the outward man is perishing, and in its context there, he's talking about every day his life is in jeopardy. His life is on the line. I mean, he said, I die daily. I mean, there were people trying to kill him all the time. He was taking his life in his hands every moment of his life. He was perishing from a natural standpoint. He had a lot to be in fear about. He had a lot to worry about when he got up in the morning, but he didn't worry and he didn't fear. Why? Because he did not focus in on the threatenings that were all around him. He didn't focus in on his circumstance. He says, yes, even though outwardly we're perishing, yet inwardly, I'm being changed through this. Every trial I go through, every test I go, you know, the mockers are still the mockers. The persecutors are still the persecutors. The circumstances still look very much the same. In some ways, they've gotten worse. But glory be to God, I've only gotten better. It's only getting me better. I'm getting renewed, man. I'm exercising new faith, new spiritual energy every time I go through it. And it's changing me. I'm getting stronger from the inside out. So I've given into stuff. I've fallen down. Do you know how much spiritual strength you can acquire just by getting up? I mean, you're talking about some serious squats. There's some folks, they've got knocked down and they have so much weight on them. I mean, things are worse than before now because they really messed up, you know. I mean, they've really messed up. And I mean, they've just got weights down on them. I mean, and they're just pushed to the floor. Well, don't just sit there. That's a great opportunity. Hallelujah. You got some good weights under you. It's a new year. It's a new day. I'm getting up in the name of Jesus. Ah! Hey, I'm back, Pastor. Right? I'm back. Yeah, you're back, all right. What did you just do to get back? What did you just do to get back? What did you just pick up and push off of you to be able to get back? Friend, you are back and you're better than before. If you're back, you're better. I know that. If you're back, you're better because it took something. It took something for you to get up, to get up out of that mess that you were in. Hallelujah. So those that didn't have to really squat, do some heavy squats this morning, should be envious of you, whoever you are. So I said, boy, it was quite easy for me to get up this morning. Well, that's good. Praise God. Don't complain about that. Enjoy that too. Amen. But I'm telling you, the guy that pushed through to get here, now I'm on. He's got a lot to rejoice about. He's got a lot to be excited about. Why? Because his inward man has been renewed. His inward self, which is the eternal part of him, has been changed, has been developed more, has been strengthened more. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? That's how you got to look at it as you go through the year. Knocked down? Not knocked out. As long as you can get back up again, oh, glory to God. It's a good day. It's a good day to experience good things from God. Hallelujah. That's why there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Well, the Bible tells us in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. We're not consumed. We're not consumed by our sins. We're not consumed by our mess ups. We're not consumed by the devil. Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. His, verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning. Whoo, hallelujah. Every morning. This new year is made up of a bunch of mornings. Every one of them new. Come on. Every one of them new. Full of new mercy for you. Full of compassion for you. Praise God. That's why there can't be any condemnation for you and I. Because there's no past sins to dwell on. There's no past failures to dwell on. God washes them all away. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. And he causes even the things that we did wrong to turn around for our good as we exercise ourselves to godliness, to get back up, repent, and go forward with him. No condemnation. No past remembrance, negative remembrance of past failures. I love what he says in Isaiah 54. Why don't we go there? Isaiah 54. In verse 4. He says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, nor be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. That's a shouting word right there. Just knowing that's God talking to me. Today. This is a new word to me today. He's speaking that to me today. And he says to me that you will not be ashamed. You're not going to be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. He says, you're going to forget. You're going to forget the shame of your youth or the shame of your past. You're going to forget about that. You're not going to be walking around saying, man, remember the good old days when they were a bunch of shameful days. You're going to forget about that. And you're not going to be disgraced. Nothing's going to put you to shame. So he's talking about right there, even if a person has messed up, they've sinned, they've done wrong, they put themselves in a position to bring a lot of shame upon themselves, bring shame to their name. He says, you'll not be put to shame. You're going to forget that it ever happened. You're going to forget that it ever happened. Is he big enough to do that? He's big enough to do that if we'll be faithful enough to believe that. Believe that. Believe God's word. Believe that he can do that, and he will do that. That was the attitude of the Apostle Paul over in Philippians chapter 3. Again, familiar scripture to many. Because it's familiar, don't let that cause you to miss the freshness of what God's speaking to you today and what he wants to impart into you today to put you over this new year. Come on. Philippians, the third chapter. He says in verse, I'm going to pick on verse 12. He says, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected. You know, there's some folks, they're not coming out of a major crisis. They're not dealing with really any condemnation. They've been walking with the Lord. They've been faithful to God. They've been doing well. They've been growing up spiritually and things like that. And the danger there is a person that's doing well can think that in compared to other people, they've arrived. that they are doing so well that they kind of have done all there is to do. And they're there. But even the Apostle Paul, as well as he was doing, and all the great things that he had accomplished and the glory that he had been walking in, he said, not that I have already attained, nor am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold on me. He knows no matter what I've experienced in him, there is a whole lot more yet to be experienced. There's a whole lot more waiting for me to take hold of that Jesus Christ has come to make available to me. He has come to make so much available to me. I'm pressing for it. I'm going to take hold of what the more that he has for me. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Notice that. He says, this one thing I do. This one thing I do, forgetting. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget about yesterday. Forget about what's happened in the past. Forget about it. Turn to somebody and say, forget about it. Just forget about it. Forget about what has been, what has happened. There's such glory awaiting you and I. There's such bigger things out in front of us. Again, don't focus on what's been. If you focus on what's been, you'll end up being a has-been. If you don't want to be a has-been, don't focus in on what's been. Focus in on what's to be. Come on, focus in on what's before you. Focus in on the opportunities that are before you, the ideas that are yet to be known, the experiences yet to be had. Focus in on the relationships that are to come and the accomplishments that are to be achieved. Focus in on what's to come. And you won't do that very well if you keep carrying on about the past. You gotta forget about it. Forget about the past and move on into the future. That's one of the things a spiritual person does. They're quick to forget. They just forget the past. They forget those things because they're so focused on the fresh and the new and the things that are ahead and the things that are coming down the pike right now, the things that God's doing now. They're so intent on hearing from God and knowing what's the next step that he has for me. What's the next move that I'm to make? What wisdom does he have for me today? He's got new wisdom for you, new ideas for you to help you overcome old problems. There's old problems, yes, I still have the same old problems. That's fine, but there's new wisdom, there's new idea, there's new steps for you to take this year to change those things, to change some of those old problems. If you continue to just think, I'm going to keep doing the same old thing and somehow, some way, God will change my old problems, then that's a problem because that's probably not going to happen. You're going to have to seek God and find those new steps to take, new steps to take, new steps to take. Some of those new steps are some of the same old things that we've heard before. We just have never stepped into it to do it consistently. Why does this keep happening? You know, I'm still dealing with this situation. It could be any kind of situation. I'm still dealing with this situation. Well, how have you approached it? How have you approached the situation? Have you been approaching it the same way you've always approached it? By complaining about it. Whining about it. Talking about it. Whining to God about it. You know, when we pray to God, if it's not a prayer of faith where we believe we receive from him, then it's just whining to him. A lot of folks think they're praying, but it's really just whining.
Oh, yeah, God, you changed me. I pray. It doesn't change me.
You're whining. That's not praying. You got to get into faith. I said, you got to get into faith to see the thing change. You got to get over into believing. You got to begin to take steps. Some of those steps are start with releasing your faith through your words. That no matter what comes, no matter what kind of hell or high water rises up before you, you're going to continue to laugh at it. You're going to continue to praise God, and you're going to continue to take the sword of the Word of God, and you're going to continue to swing it at that thing. You're going to speak that word. You're going to speak that word in faith. You're going to stay on that word. You're going to praise God. You're going to laugh. You're going to stay there. You're going to walk right towards it. You're not going to fear it. You're going to continue to praise God, speak the word of God, and you're going to watch that thing split. Somebody's got to move out, and it ain't me. This thing's going to have to change. What are you doing different? A lot of folks, they do a little different for just a little bit, but they have no endurance. They have no stamina. They don't stay with it. They don't continue to speak the word of God. Hold up the word of God. Time to build your life on it like there's nothing else to stand on in life. Nothing else. All I got is his word. You got to stand on that word. Speak that word. Declare the truth of God's word. Stay over here in an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful for what God is doing, what you can see he has already done in your life. Be grateful. If you're just going to lie in bed and whine and cry about your circumstances, you're not doing anything to change it. Not doing anything to change it. It's time to get up out of that old bed. Make that bed and walk away from it. Jesus would say, rise up, take your bed, and walk. Rise up, make your bed. Make it. So you don't keep lying down in it. Get out. Get out of that mess and walk in the newness that he has for you. Somebody say, I'm going to walk in the newness that God has for me. Come on, this is who you are. You are new creations in Christ Jesus. That's what he says. Go there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We need to be a very forgetful people. We need to forget the devil, forget the things of the, forget the sins of the past, forget the mess ups in the past. Forget it. Don't worry about it. You're not going to be put to shame. God's going to put you over. Let's move on. I'm moving into the new that God has for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at this here. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have what? Passed away. See? Dead. That's a nice way of saying they died. They passed away. It's over. Now, when did this happen? Has anybody ever experienced this in their own personal life? Has anybody ever experienced this scripture in their own personal life? You were made a new creation? How many people have made a new creation in this place? You were made a new creation, okay. And some of you, how many would say that happened more than 3 years ago? How many people would say it happened more than 5 years ago? How many people would say that happened more than 10 years ago? Wow. So I guess you're not a new creation anymore. You're an old creation. Right? Because, I mean, that happened a long time ago. I mean, when a person is born again, that's when they're a new creation. Right? Wrong. It doesn't say that, therefore, if anyone is born again, he's a new creation. You get this? Because the revelation coming, it's coming right at you right now. It doesn't say, therefore, if anyone is born again, he's a new creation. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It doesn't say, if anyone has been born again, he was a new creation at the time when he was born again. Which is how folks are hearing it. But that's not what he's saying. Are you in Christ now, today? Then you know what you are? New. Hallelujah. If anyone is in Christ, that's where I am right now. I'm plugged in. If you're in Christ, he is. He is. If he is in, then he is. a new creation. So as long as you're in him, you are new all the time. It's not you were new and now you've been doing this for a while and now you're like an old veteran. You're an old creation. You'll never become old creation unless you disconnect from him. Then you get old quick. Then you dry up. Then you wither. And they gather you up like a stick and they throw you in the fire. That's what happens. But if you're in him, new. 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 You've got new sap flowing through your branch. Amen. And there's going to be some new fruit. Oh, you're going to be a bountiful branch. Come on, somebody say, I'm going to be a bountiful branch in this tree of Christ. That's right, because you're in him. So there's new life flowing through you. You are a new creation. Even right now, you're new. Now, I know the outward man. See, again, we focus so much on the outward man. We see the outward man that we feel old. We feel old. We're getting old. We're getting old, and it's the same old, same old. But that's the outward man. That's not the real you. That's not the real you. The real you is a spirit. And you're new every day, every moment of your life. You're fresh. You're new. Your youth is being renewed like the eagles. And these things are affecting you physically. But primarily, you are new. You are fresh every day. So you're not walking around like someone that's drying up. Like someone that's perishing. Like someone that's withering away. Doesn't matter how many wrinkles you get. Wrinkles is not what it's all about. It's what's coming out of you. What's coming out of you? New life, new strength, new wisdom, new power. Come on, new anointing, new wine, new oil. Praise God, I'm walking in a new covenant. For I got news for you, the new covenant's still new today. Hallelujah. It's still new today. God's got new things for us in there today that we haven't walked in yet. There's things that are our covenant right and privilege in him. That we have not yet laid hold of. There's still a bunch of new things to know about with our covenant this year. Amen. You want to keep it new? You want to keep the new year new? Forget about those things which have been. Forget about them. And move on into the new. You know, I love this over here in 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, King David. He got into some bad sin in chapter 11. He did some really nasty things. But then God sent the prophet to him. And David repented, received forgiveness, received mercy from God. And God still did great things in the life of David before it was all over. And then, of course, David raised up a son by the name of Solomon. Who, I mean, became the richest, wisest, most powerful king that has ever walked the face of this earth. But over here in chapter 12, David's boy, child, was dying. Verse 16 says, David therefore pleaded with God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. I mean, he is praying, he's grieving over this child that is sick and on the edge of death. Verse 18, then on the seventh day, it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, indeed, while the child was still alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. And they're scared, I mean, because they see the level of grief that this man is walking in while the child was still alive. He's in there pleading for the child's life. Verse 19, When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house. And when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servants said to him, "What is this you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." So he said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." I mean, what a revelation that this man of faith walked in. Here he understood that while the child was alive, there was a chance to bring about change in these circumstances. But once the child died and it was over, he knew it's done. Nothing I can do about this. So what did he do? He got up. He washed himself, and he looked forward. He looked forward to that which was ahead of him. He said, "I will go to him." Hallelujah. I will go. He's not coming back, but I will go to him. And he forgot about what was behind, and he moved forward with what was ahead. And that, again, is an extreme situation. That's an extreme situation. How much more in not so extreme situations should you and I be able to wash ourselves, anoint ourselves, get up, eat ourselves a good meal? Hallelujah. Put joy on. Put the strength of God on and say, "Glory to God, I'm going forward. God's got great things out in front for me. Come on. God's got good things out ahead of me." Amen. And there'll be no shame of the past, because God is more than able to make up for all the things that have gone wrong in the past. He is more than able to make things right. We're going to have to move out the old to make room for the abundance of new that God has for you this year. Come on, somebody. I'm expecting good things this year. There might be some hard decisions up ahead. There might be some tough challenges up ahead in this new year. I don't doubt there's probably a whole bunch of challenges out ahead of us in this new year. But are you up for the challenge? That was weak. Is God up for the challenge? Yes, he is. And where is he? He's in you. He's in me. So we're up for the challenges of life. And any challenge that comes, we're going to have the wisdom and the know-how to make the step. And there might be some tough steps to take. There might be some tough decisions to make. But we're going to have the spiritual strength to be able to take those steps. Come on. Make those decisions and walk in what God has for us, to have the victory that he has predestined for us to walk in. It's going to be a glorious year. It is going to be the best year of our life. Amen. Are you on board with me? Say with me, say, "It's going to be the best year of my life. And I'm in it now. I'm in the best year of my life. Regardless of past years, past mistakes, past problems, there's new wisdom, new ideas, new strength for me today. I'm overcoming. I'm moving forward. I'm forgetting, laying aside the past. I'm reaching forward to what's ahead of me." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, if you want to shout, stand up and let it out. Praise God. Glory to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.